Welcome to the St. Dominic Media Podcast, where we strive to share the power of the Word with the world. You are listening to Distilled Faith, the show about prayer. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show. On today's episode, does God need us to pray? Welcome to Distilled Faith, the show about prayer. Many times we talk about how to pray or when we should pray, but we sometimes skip the question that is most fundamental of all, which is, what happens when we pray? Does God need us to pray? Why do we pray in the first place? So to help us dive into today's topic, I'd like to welcome Ron to the show. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And I believe you didn't come empty-handed. You brought a treat for us to share?
Absolutely. I brought some Okinawan sake. It's from the Ryukyu Islands. We know sake's from Japan. It's rice wine.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to share it with you. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
So, Ron, when you've thought about what happens when you pray, what image comes to mind?
When I first started my discernment process into Christian life, I had trouble with this thought process that God was up there waiting for my prayers and that He was somehow watching His watch, or like an NFL clock waiting, you know, 3 minutes. If you don't answer my prayer, you don't pray in 3 minutes, then too bad. Oh, you know, game over. So your prayer is not going to mean anything to what's going on.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, that image, it has probably something that we can all relate to as far as my prayer as something transactional, right? That I have to pray so that God will act. And yet we have the mystery of, in the revelation of the scriptures, that God is love. So there's definitely, let's say, a transaction in the communication of information, but ultimately it's about a relationship, right? And that God wants to be in relationship with us. So has that image kind of matured or journeyed with you to maybe a more well-rounded image over the years?
Yes, I took a while to discern that. I had some great spiritual helpers along the way that said, no, that's not how it works. And it was the actual lay process where you have the thought process where if you're the smartest guy in the room, you need new friends. You know, you need to continue to better yourself because who you hang around with matters. Mm-hmm. And that thought process of when I pray is more of a communion with heavenly things and heavenly beings and God Himself, instead of me just asking for something and then being disappointed if it doesn't happen the way I want. It was more, let's develop a relationship.
And I think that's so key, is that it's hard to have a relationship with someone you don't talk to, right? So I think that invitation to prayer is really an invitation to that communication of the heart, right? Not just here are what my thoughts are, here are what my needs are, but that sharing of the heart and such.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what I spend a lot of time in adoration. And when you're around a person a long time, it's when you first meet someone or haven't seen anybody in a long time, the conversation is these big topics. But when you're around somebody all day, sometimes it's just that small talk. And that small talk really builds an intimacy. And you worry less about those big topics because you've talked to God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, all three, all day long, every day. Mm-hmm. And it's been that growing process of saying, you know how I feel about this because we've discussed this already. Mm-hmm. And it's this beautiful growth pattern than the God of the NFL clock.
Right. Well, and again, I think we've talked about relationship, and ultimately what the scriptures reveal and through Jesus is that the relationship God has with us is as a father to His beloved children, sons and daughters. And there is a writing of an image from one of the saints of the Catholic Church, Saint Faustina, and the Lord in this conversation, because the Lord appeared to her over various times, and He's asking Saint Faustina about her day and for her to recount kind of the events of the day. Mm-hmm. And her response is, I think, like many of us, but God already knows. Like, Lord, you already know what's happened.
Yes.
Why do you need me to tell it to you? And He says, yes, but I haven't heard it from your lips. Mm. Like, I haven't heard it from your perspective. And I think, again, what a beautiful image of, like, what I have is an image of, like, a mother or father in one room, kind of looking into their child in the other room. They can see what they're doing, maybe struggling with a puzzle or something of that nature. And And again, they know what's happening. They can see what the child is going through, but they say, hey, how are you doing? And do you need anything? Or can I help you? And maybe eventually the child comes over and says, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this puzzle or this homework or whatever the case is. And even though the parent already knows, they delight in hearing you know, their child reach out to them. And so, again, I love that image, and I think that overcomes a major obstacle that we have. If God knows everything, then why do I need to tell him?
Yes, and I think it leads right into reconciliation, and that's hoping anybody discerning now can say the same thing. You know, go from the God where I ask him for things, and if there's this transactional process that's like yes, no, maybe. That's how we are thought of a lot of times. We're told how God reacts to all our prayers. He answers them all, yes, no, maybe, not now. But when you go into confession, it's forgiveness now. Mm-hmm. And he already knows now. So you go into confession with nothing but your words, really.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, that, like you said, God knows and desires to give us the gift, let's say, of his mercy. But our yes is our consent. Our response, our prayer, our asking for mercy is to say, okay, well, we know this is the Lord's will. God knows better than we do how much we need his grace, his mercy. But when we say, Lord, please give me your mercy, please forgive me my sins, that call, that cry from the heart is that consent. Because God, as a loving father, doesn't want to trample over our will, but our prayer is basically, this is my will, Lord, please, you know, hear and answer me.
I believe that, to me, that one of the saddest statements in the Bible is in Genesis when God asks Adam, where are you? It's just the cry from the Father's heart that says, I already know. The God of the universe does not know where Adam is. Where are you is, where are you in your spirituality? Where are you in your love for me? And it's not, hey, don't kick us out of the garden, God. Oh, too late, you already made a mistake. That's not it. The cry was, where are we in our relationship? Yeah. Where are you in that?
Well, it's interesting you bring up the garden, because I didn't know you were going to say that, but one of the thoughts that I had on my heart, too, about the nature of prayer and why we pray as a fundamental reason is, well, what also happened in the garden was an invitation to work with God, that God gave Adam dominion in the garden to work it and to, you know, and so what we see throughout is, you know, Jesus is inviting his disciples into the ministry that he's doing and eventually commissions them as he goes to the Father. But I think all of that is related to, well, why are we supposed to pray? Because prayer is one of the ways that we co-work with God. When we intercede for our family members, our friends, the needs of the world. God doesn't want to be doing this alone. He's inviting us into a relationship, but also a relationship into the mission that is the ongoing unfolding of revelation and redemption in the world.
Absolutely. One of the things that comes to mind, and I bring this up, we do a prison ministry, and one of the things we bring up there is when Adam was created, he was created for a purpose, and it was to till the soil and to interact with God in taking care of his creation. When Adam was removed from the garden, the actions of tilling and the actions of working the earth were the same actions. But it goes from till to toil when God is out of the picture. You move from tilling to toiling. Your work in God's name, for God, is a joy, is a treat. And then when you remove yourself from that, then it becomes a toil. Our earthly life here, you know, how we struggle with the things we have, the sacrifices or the struggles we have. When they're outside of God, they're that toiling. And it's that cooperation that makes it a tilling process or a gardening process.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the last thought I had about, you know, for prayer and why we pray, for example, what's happening, what is God's motive with that is that just as we, you know, have to till the soil and work and prepare the way, that prayer prepares the way in our heart for what God wants to do.
Yes,
you know? And we know that God wants to give more than we can receive, but as we pray, and especially when I think we ask for something very clearly, like, Lord, I know what I want, and this is what I want, and this is the time frame I want it, but we don't receive it quite in that time frame. It's like, Lord, why not? But many, many times it's because God is tilling our hearts, is increasing our desire,
yes,
so that yeah. we're ready to receive more when that consolation comes.
Well, it's funny because I think about it in the terms of, you know, a kid prays, I want to be Michael Jordan. God, make me Michael Jordan. God, make me Michael Jordan. Well, he might give you some sneakers and a gym pass. That might be the relationship process that you mm-hmm. get. It's not what you're going to necessarily think about when you're saying that prayer. I just want to be as good. Give me some Air Jordans and send me out and I'm going to be good. But no, sometimes you get a rosary and an adoration chapel, and that's how it was for me.
Yeah.
Then that relationship was built with something that wasn't, here, let me hand you this on a silver platter. No, let's work together to make this thing a more fruitful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ron, this is great. I think, at the end of the day, when I doubt about, you know, how effective is my prayer or what's actually happening, which, again, I'll admit is above my pay grade exactly what's happening in the heavenly court. But
yes.
at the end of the day, two things I fall back on are that Jesus's example, he prays, and he's the Son of God, you know, so
yes.
he prays. So even if I don't fully understand all the dynamics, I have to look at his example and know that he is calling me to imitate him. And then lastly is that he commands us to pray. He teaches us
yes.
the Our Father, and he tells us to pray. So again, even in the mystery of what all is happening, I can always, you know, fall back on those two things.
Amen, and thank goodness for that, right? I mean, Jesus in the garden and his prayer in the garden, the giving over to the will of the Father is so meaningful to us in our daily life. We're not going to necessarily go to the cross. Somewhat he may, but in our daily life, we likely will not. And it's easier for us to say, your will be done, Father,
mm-hmm.
Than it is for Jesus at the time. And it's you say, yeah, he always answers our prayers. Yes, no, maybe. But it was still in his plan, in the plan of salvation, that he moved that direction. So what was the answer to the prayer? It was the comforting angel. It wasn't that you were coming off the cross, but I'm going to comfort you in my love. I'm going to let you know that we're on the right path. Mm. Together, we're working this out.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, how? What are the things that encourage you as you walk with the Lord and with all the mystery that remains? What encourages you to continue on your spiritual journey?
Well, I'll tell you that the Holy Spirit and I have this great relationship. I pray and he answers, and it's not the Jordans. It is... Holy Spirit, I am worn out. I don't want to necessarily be here at this place. Prison ministry is one of those things. After a full week, we go there. Such a blessing when I leave. When you go in, it's not necessarily, but we stop and we say, Holy Spirit, just take over. We have a headache or we don't have time or whatever it is. And he comes through in flying colors every time. We'll be 45 minutes later and the guys are like ready to do the video, whatever we were planning on doing. Oh, by the way, just an added bonus from the Holy Spirit, the video is exactly what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't even know it, it just leads right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I sit in the corner and have a tear in my eye and praise God the whole time, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah, and that's awesome to recall, you know, those moments where it's clear to help us for the next time it's not so clear,
yes.
you know, encouraging us in that.
Yes, yes. You have to hang on to that consolation. You have to hang on to those times because it's not always going to be sitting down in your easy chair and God answers everything. Sometimes those times are quiet and sometimes those places are dark, and we're not talking about a desperation necessarily. But recall that in those times, maybe you're being called to remember the times when he did answer your prayers and to build that strength up, that perseverance up.
Absolutely. Well, Ron, thank you so much. Do you have, like, in your toolkit, your spiritual toolkit, like a saint or a quote of you know, some sort of a quote or a scripture that is one of your go-tos to guide you?
Absolutely. The simplest one, and you can memorize it. Blessed Solanus Casey, a doorman of the church. Thank God ahead of time. Even before I start to pray, thank God ahead of time. What he's going to send you is a consolation. It's coming. It's his will. And you can just relax in that, whatever it is.
Yeah. Gratitude all the time.
All the time. Thank God ahead of time.
Yes. Awesome. Well, Ron, thank you so much for being with us today and
yes,
for helping
us. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thank you for sharing the sake.
Yes, sir. You're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Distilled Faith. Please like, share, and subscribe. And don't forget to click the bell at the bottom of the video so you can be updated on upcoming episodes. I want to thank all of our donors for your support. Thank you so much. And if you would like to become a donor, please see the Patreon link below to support future episodes. Thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of Distilled Faith, and we'll see you again very soon.